I like to think that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the name of the book. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not just the revelation. And sometimes we put an S on it and call revelations. But it really is revelation, singular. And the center of the book is Jesus Christ. It's not about who the Antichrist is, though he's there. It's not about the beast and the false prophet, though they are there. The center of this book and the purpose of the writing of this book is the unveiling, the uncovering, the discovery of Jesus Christ. That's what Revelation's really all about. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we want to discover here tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. Turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. After this. After what? Well, after the revelation and the messages to the seven churches. After seeing the glorious revelation of the glorified Christ. After that, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Everybody say hereafter. Everybody remember that in Revelation 19, or 1 and 19, was an outline of the book of Revelation. If you want to look there right quick, he said, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Three things. We've already talked about the things that he saw. That was the glorified Christ. And then in chapter 2 and chapter 3, we talked about the things that he saw, which were the current seven churches, also representative of seven church ages and their characteristics. And now he said, I want you to come up here, and I'm going to show you some things, and I want you to write about what shall be hereafter. And so we're going to be talking now about the hereafter. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Lord bless you. You may be seated. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. From the outset of this book of Revelation, the church has played a prominent part. We have taught for pretty much the last month on the churches. It's about the church. The church, the church. But from the fourth chapter of Revelation until the 19th chapter of Revelation, you never ever see the church again. What happened to the church? It was the center of everything, and suddenly it just disappears. Well, that's exactly what happens. It disappears. Praise the Lord. It's lifted up from the earth. Amen. It's the term the Bible uses for it is harpizo, which means to snatch away. Have you ever been snatched? When I was being bad, sometimes somebody would say, I'm going to snatch you bald-headed. You ever hear that? Well, it didn't happen. Praise the Lord. I still got hair today. Because I bought me a toupee. No, not really. But the word snatch means to seize and to take away suddenly. To take out, to take away, to take unto. Amen. And so that's literally what happens to the church. It's snatched away suddenly. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight is the rapture. Now, let me qualify the word rapture tonight because that is not a biblical word. If you look for the word rapture in this reference to the catching away, You won't find it in the Bible because it's not in there. It is an old English word that comes from a Latin word that we use to describe this event. It includes our emotions and our feelings. When we talk about something being enraptured, we talk about an ecstasy. We talk about an upsweeping emotion that consumes us. And so that's what we mean when we say rapture. And it's all wrapped up in that word. But the biblical word, it just simply says the catching away. And we'll get to that verse here in just a few minutes. But it talks about the catching away. Amen. The seizing, the plucking, the taking, the pulling, however you want to say it. But we're going to get out of here. Amen. Go with me now to the book of 1 Corinthians, to the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is a marvelous chapter. And the subject of the 15th chapter is resurrection. It begins Paul talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the importance of it. Paul said that if Jesus wasn't raptured, then our hope's in vain. Isn't it is, right? Amen. If he didn't resurrect like he said he was going to, then other good men have lived, other good men have died. Amen. But what sets Jesus apart from all of the others is his resurrection. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he goes on to tell us that it was not something that just happened, but it was something that was witnessed. All of the apostles saw him. Amen. The disciples on the road to Emmaus saw him. 500 saw him at one time. He was witnessed over and over and over again. Paul said, and I saw him. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is vital to the hope of the church and to the faith of the church, to you and me. Amen. He said that if we have hope in this world only, we're of all people most miserable. Amen. Because we believe that it's good here, but the best is yet to come. Anybody believe that tonight? Amen. I believe that life with Jesus Christ is good. It's better than life without Christ. I tried it without him, and I've tried it with him, and it's a whole lot better with him. Hallelujah. Who doesn't like peace? Who doesn't like joy? Who doesn't like to be right with God and right with men? That's a great way to live your life, folks. It's better than pushing and shoving and being embittered. Amen. And being jealous and being greedy and all the other emotions that are caught up in this world. Amen. But to have peace with God, what a treasure. Amen. To have peace with my brothers and sisters, what a treasure. Amen. Praise the Lord. To live in a fellowship, what a privilege. Amen. Amen. I like living for the Lord. It's the greatest way to live life. I look at other people and I'm very thankful. I'm not judging anybody, but I'm just saying by a lot of what I see is not so good. And this is better. Just by what I see, I have to say that this is better. Amen. And I'm glad to live for Jesus Christ tonight. This is the greatest life there is. So Paul talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to talk about the resurrection of the righteous. I'd like for us to go to about verse number 35. And he explains, I think, some very vital things here. He said, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Those are two good questions. How does it happen? And what will they look like? He answers those questions in these next few verses. He starts out, I suppose, a little rough. He says, thou fool, That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Isn't that right? Now, you, if you hold seed in your hand, you have two choices. You can hold on to it, and it'll be just exactly like it is years from now. Archaeologists have dug up seeds that were protected in certain vessels, and those seeds are still just like they were more than 1,000 years ago. Some of them several thousand years. And they're still the same. Nothing's happened. And if you take a seed and you just hold on to it, it'll always be a seed. Unless something eats it. But if you put that seed into the ground, into fertile ground, that's when something takes place, doesn't it? You got to bury it first. But whenever you bury that seed, something happens to that seed. When the conditions are right, out of that seed that you buried comes life. It's a miracle. It's a marvelous, marvelous miracle. And it's amazing, isn't it? And look at the next verse. He says, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, and it may be of chance, of wheat, or some other grain. He said, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So you plant a seed, and what it produces depends on what's in the seed. You'll never plant corn and get watermelons. You'll never plant cantaloupe and get an apple tree. It's going to bear according to what's in the seed. And what it produces doesn't look like the seed. The first thing that happens, you bear an old brown or yellow or whatever color seed, and it produces a green plant. And then that green plant produces other produce. Some will produce a green watermelon. Some will with stripes on it. How in the world do you get stripes on a watermelon from an old seed that didn't have any stripes? The same way that a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk. You figure that out. And I don't know. It's up to God, isn't it? It's up to God. And so he said, God gave each seed its own body. And that's true. So what you plant's not what you get. Amen. So this is the hope of the Christian. Amen. This body. One young preacher was preaching his first funeral. He was very nervous. He was trying to communicate with the congregation. And so he came up with an analogy. He said, what we see before us here, he said, this is just the shell. He said, the nut is gone. The nut is gone. Well, he tried. In some cases, that may be true. But it's he's just trying to explain that that what we bury is not what comes up. Amen. We may go to a grave, but that's not the end. Hallelujah. Because there's a greater body that's going to be resurrected. Isn't that right? Amen. That's what he's saying here. Verse number 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. Then he goes on to say there's one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, of fishes, of birds. There are celestial bodies and terrestrial. The glory of the celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another in glory. And that's true. You see the heavens, some stars shine greater than other stars. Amen. The sun and the moon, of course, are most prominent. And so the glory is not all the same. And so he goes on to tell us, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, and it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. Hallelujah. It is sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so he's trying to describe for us this process of resurrection, and that resurrection is so much greater than mortality. What we have now is not even to be compared with what shall be. I've said this before. I don't know. I just find it interesting. I find it interesting that according to scientists, and I don't know how they prove this, but according to scientists, right now we only use between 8 and 12% of our brain. Do you think God made all that other up there not to be used? Do you think he gave us 90% of something that we're not supposed to use? I mean, I feel like I'm trying to use all of it, but I just can't get there. Amen. You ever run against something, you're trying to figure it out, you're just kind of spinning your wheels, smell stuff burning, making no progress, lights on, ain't nobody home. You're trying, not getting anywhere. Because there are some things that are closed to us now. But I honestly believe that in resurrection, all those limitations are going to be lifted. And what we are going to be is so much greater than what we are presently. Amen. And it's going to be marvelous. Amen. I'm looking forward to that time and to that day. Amen. And then he goes on to say, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul, but the last Adam was a quickening spirit. Now he's talking here about Adam and about Jesus Christ. The first Adam was our father Adam, and he was a living soul. God breathed into him, and he became a living soul. He said, but the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, is a quickening spirit. What does that mean? It means he is a life-giving force, or a life-giving spirit, a life-giving power. Adam was a living soul. He derived life from the God that gave it. But Jesus doesn't. He's not a one that derived life, but he's the one that gives life. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the life giver. Praise the Lord. Howbeit, this was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So that's the order. Adam was natural. Jesus is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Amen. That identifies him, doesn't it? That's telling me that Jesus Christ is God. He's the Lord from heaven. From Adam, we get this body. From Jesus Christ, we get that life that's in us when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And there are two different kinds of life, aren't they? Anybody remember the life you got from Adam? Amen. It's a limited life. Anybody remember when you got the Holy Ghost? Praise the Lord. You got a new life. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible calls it what? Being born again. You get a new life in Jesus Christ. That's what we have when we receive this spiritual. The first man is the earth earthy. The second is the Lord from heaven. As the earthy, such are those also which are earthy, and as it is the heavenly, are they which also are heavenly. Not every person is heavenly. You know anybody that's earthy? We call them carnal, worldly. Amen. They're earthy. Amen. In East Texas, they'd probably say, you're a right smart earthy. Amen. That's a good description. Somebody that's not spiritual. Amen. Somebody that's carnal. As we have borne the image of the earthy, so we shall, everybody say shall. That's future, isn't it? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Just like a seed. Amen. It has life in it, but you can't see its potential yet. You don't know how much is in there. Praise God. You know, you plant one seed, you know what's going to bring forth. Amen. There's a lot of power in the seed. And so we don't know. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. neither doth corruption inherit in corruption. So this body cannot go to heaven as it is. That something's got to happen to it before we can get there. Now, Jesus Christ called that being glorified. What does that mean? I don't really know. I know the term. And I know what happened to him. And that's going to happen to us in order for us to inherit the kingdom of God. And so then he describes it. Look at verse 51. We're on familiar ground here. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Everybody say a mystery. Don't you love mysteries? A mysterion. What is a mysterion? A mysterion is something that is hidden in the knowledge of God that man cannot know until God reveals it. And that's exactly what happens here. It was something that was hidden in God. Man could not know it. And then the Lord revealed it. Praise God. And now we can understand it. Hallelujah. That's a mystery. You see, the Bible said, "Great is the mystery of godliness." The mysterion of godliness. It's not that God doesn't want you to know him. He does want you to know him. And so he revealed himself to us. It's something that God has made known. That's what a mystery is in the Bible. God wants us to know. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. He wants to know these things. He wants us to know this mystery. And so he gives us an understanding. He said, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." There's the mystery. Amen. Now, when he talks about sleep here, that's what Christians in the New Testament call death. Jesus started that, didn't he? Remember when Lazarus died? Remember that? And Jesus said, "Lazarus is sleeping." And he said, "I'm going to go wake him." Well, they knew it was a 3-day journey. So they thought, "Well, Lord, you know, he'll be awake by the time you get there, surely." They didn't understand. So then plainly he said, "Lazarus is dead." Then they understood. And so Jesus called it sleeping. The Bible refers to those that are asleep in Jesus. It's talking about the state of the physical body. The physical body is at rest right now. People that die in Christ are merrily in a resting place. It's like closing your eyes. When we used to take long trips, my mom and dad would say, "Now just go to sleep." In other words, they didn't want me talking. You ever rode with a kid and it's fun? Before you get to the city limits, they're saying, "How much farther is it?" And they're bouncing all over the back seat. And they're full of life. Amen. And you got 500 miles to go. Amen. And so you just say, "Honey, just go to sleep now. And when you wake up, we won't have very far to go." Amen. And so that was the idea. And so those that go to sleep in Jesus, 2,000 years may pass, but it's the same to them. Amen. It's, you know, time, when you're sleeping, time doesn't matter, does it? You don't know. I remember going, this probably never happened to you, but I a few times I fell asleep in class. You ever done that? I mean, sitting up straight in the chair, you're sitting there and you just check out. And then all of a sudden, boy, when you wake up, you start grabbing stuff, and I'm sure it looks hilarious. I like to watch other people do it. And you know they've been sleeping. It's fun in church too, by the way. And somebody, all of a sudden they come awake and you think, "Man, how long have I been asleep?" And you've probably been asleep maybe just a minute or less. But it seems so long because there's no time in sleep. We don't know. And so those that are asleep in Jesus, whether it's been nearly 2,000 years or just a short while, doesn't matter. They're going to wake up. Amen. He says, "We shall not all sleep, but there are some that are sleeping." And this is the mystery. He said, we're not all going to sleep. But listen, this next part's vital. He said, "But we shall all," everybody say all, "we shall all
be changed.
There's the mystery. Not everybody is going to go by the way of the grave. But the same thing that happens to them is going to happen to us. We're all going to go through some change. That's what's going to make the difference here. And then he begins to describe it a little bit in the 53rd, or in the 52nd verse. He said, everybody say in a moment. That word is atomos. It means in an atom of time. That's a very small thing. That's a very small amount of time. It is, well, according in those days, it was indivisible as far as they were concerned. Now we've actually split atoms. But it was indivisible. It's minutely small. And then he calls it here a twinkling of an eye. Now, whether that word's a blinking, the word comes from a word to jerk. I'm not real sure what that is. But did you know the eye is the fastest part of the human body? The eye moves faster than anything else. You can blink pretty fast, can't you? I don't know if it means blinking or... One guy said a twinkling of an eye is not blinking. I don't know where he gets that. I couldn't find it. I looked. Amen. But all I know is that it's fast. Amen. Even a blink's pretty quick, Brother Wesley. That's good enough for me. If that's different than a twinkling, that's all right too. The writer said that the word twinkling simply means a recognition. How long it takes you to recognize somebody. You see somebody, how long does it take you to recognize them? We don't even know. It's interminable, isn't it? I mean, as soon as you see somebody that you know, as soon as you see them, you know them. Isn't that right? Most of the time. Depends how long it's been since you saw them and how well you know them. Have you ever done that? Who is that person? Now, the fact is, you do know them. You just can't put a name with it. As soon as you see them, you know them. And you think, who is that? Praise the Lord. Amen. Like the guy standing there with his bride before the altar, and the preacher said, "Will you, Rachel?" And the light comes and he said, "Ooh, that's her name. Thank the Lord." He was so nervous. Glad somebody called that name. I knew. Just needed somebody to remind me who this was. But it's going to be that way. When we appear, it's going to be like that. As soon as Jesus comes, instantly, in a such a minute time, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. At the sound of the last trumpet. Amen. For the trumpet shall sound. Now, in the Old Testament, one of the uses of a trumpet was for the calling together of the people. When it was time to congregate, when it was time for a convocation, they would get that old ram's horn shofar, and they would sound that trumpet, and people would come and gather, because it was a convocation, it was a gathering of the congregation. And that's what that last trumpet is going to be. Hallelujah. It's going to be a gathering of the people. We used to sing an old song around here that said, "What a gathering of the faithful." That's going to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. A gathering. And that's what it's going to be. Sound of a trumpet, he said. And then he said, "The dead shall be raised incorruptible." The word corruptible, or the word corruption, means perishable or decayed. And so something that was perishable suddenly is imperishable. Something that was mortal, the word mortal means subject to death, takes on immortality, no longer subject to death. That's quite a change, isn't it? Hallelujah. That's a marvelous change that takes place here. In that very moment, he said, "So then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Amen. And we shall be changed. Everybody say that with me. We shall be changed. Amen. Hallelujah. No more arthritis. No more diabetes. No more asthma. No more heart problems. No more warts. No more colds and fevers. Amen. No more of that. No more decay. Amen. Instantly, in a moment, no more aging. Instantly, we shall be changed. And this mortal puts on immortality. And this corruptible puts on incorruption. Amen. Did you know that in heaven, we won't even have to take showers? You know why you have to take a shower now? Or why you need to? Because this right here is corruptible. Amen. But get to heaven, it's not going to be corruptible. Amen. Halitosis, goodbye. Amen. Praise the Lord. If this body is going to be incorruptible. No more subject to death. Praise God. No more dying. No more sickness. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more goodbyes. Amen. My. I'm all for that change. I'm ready for that change. How about you? Any day now. Any day now. Any day now. It's going to happen. Praise the Lord. I want to look at a companion portion of Scripture over in the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter. Paul is writing to some more saints. Had a similar thing going on. There were people that were telling them that, of course, you know, that Paul was looking for the Lord to come in his day. Did you know that? He was expecting Jesus to come back just any time. He was. And we'll see that here in just a moment. But there were people that were saying that if people died, even though they have the Holy Ghost, if they died before Jesus came back, then they wouldn't resurrect. And Paul said, no. They're all mixed up. That's not true. He was trying to tell them that there is hope for all in Christ. And so he goes on them to say, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we," and I say, notice that "we" there. So that means, see, that he was looking for the Lord right then. He didn't say y'all or you-ins. Amen. Or you guys. He said, "We." He said, "We, which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep." So his comfort to the Thessalonian church is, and isn't it interesting how he takes a different slant here? Before he was talking first about the dead in Christ, and then we get to go up. Here he starts with us and includes them. Amen. He said, to "We which are alive and remain." But I say remain. You get in this thing, you got to stay. You got to remain. That's the battle, is to remain. The devil's going to do everything he can to talk you out of this. He's going to do everything he can to steal your faith. He's going to put you through the grinder. He's going to do everything in his power to dissuade you and get you outside the ark of safety, outside the city of refuge, outside the church of Jesus Christ. He's going to do everything he can to dissuade you, but you've got to remain. So he said, "We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." Everybody say, "The coming of the Lord." That's what the rapture is. The coming of the Lord. Now, let me say that the coming of the Lord is in two parts. In the rapture, he does not return to earth. He doesn't come back to the earth. That's why this is a mystery. You see, the church age is a parenthesis in time. You know what a parenthesis is? Have you ever been reading a book and all of a sudden there's a parenthesis? Everything that's in that parenthetical passage is explanation. It's explaining something right in the middle of the action. Something's going on. The author says, I need to explain some things. He puts a little parenthesis, and then he puts the explanation, and then he closes it, and then he goes on with the same subject. That's what the church is. We're a parenthetical passage. God made all these promises to Israel. God's dealing with Israel. The Bible's all about Israel. And all of a sudden, God starts a parenthesis. Amen. And for 2,000 years, he includes all these Gentiles in his church. And at the end of it, he puts another parenthesis. Amen. And then he carries on with Israel. That's what we're going to find out in Revelation. Amen. But we're in the parenthetical passage right now. Amen. I'm glad I'm in that. Praise the Lord. And so, he said that he's going to come in the clouds. Look at the next verse. It said, for the Lord himself. Now, I love that. He's not sending a substitute. When I got married, I didn't send a substitute. How about you? Amen. I didn't call my best man, Brother Bobby Hart, and say, why don't you go on up to Indianapolis and get my bride? I'm just too busy here. Amen. I'm evangelizing. I've been preaching revivals and I just don't have time for that, but you go up there and get hitched, bring her down here to me. I don't think that would have worked very well. Amen. Matter of fact, I know that wouldn't work very well. Amen. You got to go get your bride yourself. Amen. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Hallelujah. I like that. It's going to be a joyous time. It's going to be a shouting time. It's going to be a rejoicing time and when the Lord comes back for the church. It's not going to be sad. It's not going to be sorrowful. Amen. It's going to be like a good wedding. I say a good wedding. Amen. Praise the Lord. One of those kinds where you don't have to have any police present. Amen. Where everybody's in favor. Amen. He's coming with a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. And with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Amen. And so we call it Gabriel blowing the trumpet. And the archangel, we know about Michael. I don't know who all is going to be in the procession there. But he gives us a little bit about it. And he said, in the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. This church age goes back almost 2,000 years. And the bodies of the saints are everywhere. I think it's going to be an exciting time. I think it's going to be an exciting time when those bodies gather together. Some of them rising up from the depths of the sea. Praise the Lord. Some of them from the ancient catacombs of Rome. Amen. Could I get a little far out there? Some of them probably, some of their remains may be in some of the dust and some brick and some building. Amen. When it starts coming together, that brick's coming out of there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. If you got a If you give one of your organs to somebody, amen, and when it comes rapture time, it's going. You be careful about getting one of those used hearts. Amen. If it is, you better be saved because that buddy's coming out of there. Amen. They're going to rise up. And when they, Brother Wesley, they're going to be whole. There's not going to be anything missing. Praise God. Those bodies are going to rise. Amen. And they're going to sin. Are they recognizable? I believe so. They recognized Jesus, didn't they? Didn't they? Amen. He looked the same as he did before, except he had been changed. Amen. And that's what's going to happen to the dead in Christ. They're going to rise up. Amen. And the only thing is, now they're going to be changed. They're going to be glorified. They're going to be immortalized. They're going to be incorruptible. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything bad that could have been about them, everything just human about them has now been changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and they put on this immortality. They put on this glory of God. They're standing, and we're all standing together. Hallelujah. And then as one mighty rising tide of humanity, we're all going to soar to heaven together. Hallelujah. Amen. Pray. If you get on an airplane, you better be prayed up. You never know. You might have a Holy Ghost filled captain up there. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're riding in a taxi cab, you be sure you're prayed up. Amen. He just might be one child of God getting ready to get out of here. Amen. Brother Neil, make sure you ain't driving the bus that day. Because we're getting out of here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody's going to rise. Hallelujah. Pray. You talk about a glorious day. You talk about a glorious time. Amen. When the church is going to rise. The Bible said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, snatched away, seized, taken out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Caught up together. Everybody say together. With them in the clouds to meet the Lord, the air. What was it? Tom Trimble wrote a song years ago. He said that was a plain air ride. Not an airplane, but a plain air. Amen. We're gonna meet the Lord in the air. Glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's going to be quite a moment, isn't it? That tells you that we're changed. Right now, everything that goes up must come down. I wonder why that doesn't apply to calories. If we could somehow get calories involved in that, I would be a lot better off. It seems like they just keep going up. Now, if I could get pounds subject to that, but they don't seem to. Amen. It doesn't matter where I eat. If I eat up there, down here, it's all the same. Amen. I heard that you could eat chocolate on top of the refrigerator because calories are afraid of heights, but it didn't work. Well, I didn't really try it either. So, but I have eaten it in an airplane, you know, and it didn't work. Amen. But what goes up comes down. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And that tells us we're going to be changed. Praise the Lord. We're going to be caught up to that kingdom. Caught up to that kingdom. Now, there's a lot of exciting things that go on in heaven while there's trouble on the earth. And as we go through the book of Revelation, there's going to be glimpses every now and then to what's going on up there and back down to what's going on here. A lot of parenthetical passages. But I'm talking right now about the rapture of the church. And this church is caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible said, and so shall we, get this word, ever be with the Lord. No more goodbyes. No tempter, patient, no tribulations, no trials, nothing that can separate us from Him. Amen. Now that's going to be a glorious day. Praise the Lord. No more decisions about right and wrong. Amen. No more temptations. Just to be forever in the presence of the Lord. That is going to be glorious. Amen. And that's what's going to happen. And that's what's going to happen soon, isn't it? Amen. The Bible said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen. Let me tell you, it's not going to be long. Amen. Could I just say that he's coming soon? Amen. And we're getting ready, folks, to get out of here. Praise the Lord. It's not going to be very long until we're going to get to be with Him and join Him in the clouds. Amen. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again, he closed it this way. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Somebody say steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Everybody say in the Lord. All the rest of it is in vain. Amen. Work your fingers to the bone. What do you get? Bony fingers, right? Amen. That's this world. Isn't that right, Brother Wesley? Amen. People work hard. Amen. Build a great house. And then all of a sudden it's not your house anymore because you're gone. Have all these toys. They're not your toys anymore. They belong to somebody else. Amen. That's what you call vain. Amen. But he said, our work in the Lord is not in vain. Because there's a resurrection. There's a judgment day. Amen. There's a time of rewards. And that day is coming for the church of Christ. And it won't be long. Praise the Lord. The rapture of the church. The greatest event in history. Amen. When the church rises up. You see, that's why Jesus came, wasn't it? He came to purchase a bride. He came to purchase a church. I've said it before. I'll say it again. When God wanted worlds, He just created them with a word. He said it and they became. Amen. But when God wanted a church, He bought one. The church is the only thing that God ever purchased. God set the price. He did not buy you in a bargain basement somewhere. Amen. He paid the ultimate price. He set that price so high there was not an angel in heaven, a demon in hell, or a human on earth that could pay the price. It was the shedding of perfect blood. And He alone, who had no blood, came to earth in a human body that was filled with blood so that He could shed that blood to buy and to a church for His name. That's why it's going to be so exciting. He's looking forward to that day. Are you looking forward to that day? Praise the Lord. We're going to see Jesus, and it won't be long. He said, John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said that, didn't he? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He went up in the clouds. He's coming back on clouds. He went up in glory. He's coming back in glory. But the next time, he's going to stop there and he's going to say, come on up. Come away. Come away. Praise the church shall rise. Amen. That's the rapture of the church, folks. We've got something to look forward to here today. John said, a door opened in heaven. And a voice said, everybody said, come up here. Yeah, come up here. Amen. Enough of that down there. He said, you come up here. And I'm going to show you some things. That's the rapture of the church. Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to that happening. The Bible said that we're to comfort one another with these words. I've at times seen people try to scare people into the altar or the rapture. When I was a young boy, we had an evangelist that came and he was preaching about the rapture of the church, and suddenly he opened this newspaper and he started reading out of it.
And it scared the daylights out of me because it was a newspaper that somebody had put together about out of somebody's imagination what it was going to be like on the earth after the rapture. And Harry, it was horrifying. Amen. It was really scary. But that's and it works for a time. You can scare people into the altar, but fear only lasts so long. Somewhere people have to learn to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Somewhere. That fear has to turn to love. Not serve God as fire insurance. Somewhere you've got to learn to love Him. And when you love Him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength, then you'll live for Him. Then you'll keep His commandments. Amen. That right? That's what it takes. Falling in love with Jesus. Amen. I read a story years ago, Reader's Digest, about a man that went to some islands, and he met a particular custom there that's rare and unusual to us. Not so much in other parts of the world. But it was one of those countries where people buy their brides. They buy their bride. They give a dowry. It was in the Bible, wasn't it? Remember, they had a dowry they gave. If a father had a woman that you wanted to marry, you went to the father and you talked with him until you agreed on a price. And then you would give him what he asked, and he would give you that particular woman to marry. And that was the custom of the islands. And he saw this these people, and they were talking about a particular man, and they would laugh every time his name came up. He said, "What's so funny?" He said, "Well," he said, "he's the only man in the islands that ever paid 10 cows for a bride." And he was curious. 10 cows. 10 cows for a bride. And of course they were laughing. They knew that he could have got her cheaper, you know. And so he paid 10 cows. Nobody ever paid 10 cows for a bride except for him. And so he wanted to meet the man. So he went to Johnny's house, knocked on the door, and this beautiful woman opened the door. It wasn't just her beauty, but it was a carriage. It was her personality. It was the air about her. It was there was sophistication. There was a great sense of worth and confidence about her, and it was captivating. And he walked in and he met Johnny, and of course they laughed about what everybody said, that he's the only man in the islands that ever paid 10 cows for a bride. And you know why I did that? He said, because nobody in the islands has a 10 cow bride. We tend to live up. If somebody thinks you're bargain basement, you usually act like you're bargain basement. But if somebody thinks that you're worth more, you tend to want to rise to their expectations, right? Isn't that right? We tend to rise to that. That's why we need to set expectations for our children. And don't accept the lower standard of behavior from them. Amen. We need to set a standard, because if you're part of this family, this is how we do it here. They may do it differently somewhere else, but in our house, this is how we do it here. Amen. Now, other places, you might be able to do things, but in this church, this is how we do it. Amen. And parents, you could help me out a little bit here. Amen. Praise God. When kids start running, let's stop them. That's not being mean. I'm going to tell you, we got some elders here that don't get around real well. And if one of those little ones run over them and knock them down, then we got some trouble. There's a place for running. That's not it. Is that fair enough? That's kindly, isn't it? Amen. Reasonable. So, and don't be offended if somebody else corrects your child and says, "Now stop running." Amen. I know parents are, you know, some parents get real offended. I read today about it. Some you won't believe this, but there's some parents that are so confused that they've got a little boy that when he started talking called himself a girl, and they've been treating him like a girl ever since. He thinks he's a girl, but he's a boy. And now he's going to school, and they call him whatever his name is, or her name is, and they dress him in dresses, send him to school, want him to use the girl's bathroom. And the parents are saying, "Uh-uh. Not with my little girl in there, you don't." And in a little while, he's going to be in junior high, and he's going to be wanting to take showers. Huh? I don't care if you call him Susie or not. His plumbing says he ain't Susie. Keep him out of the girl's bathroom. Oh, but he's just confused. Yeah, he's confused because he had a mom and daddy don't have enough backbone to stand up and tell him what he is. Amen. Praise God. We need to set some guidelines because of who we are. We're a 10-cow bride, folks. We're a blood-washed church. We were paid not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's why more is expected out of us. We can't act like everybody else. We can't live like everybody else. We can't talk like everybody else. We've got to rise up to a higher standard because we're the church of Jesus Christ. And we can't be like everybody else. Let's stand together. He has every right to expect more of us, does he not? Amen. Yes, he does. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Whenever we identify and we represent somebody, amen, we need to represent them the very best that we can. Amen. It's important that we're representing the Lord. We are His, the Bible said, we're His ambassadors. We're His representatives. And it's important that we do it the very best that we can. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this church is going up. We're going to be raptured. We're going to be here. And we're going to be changed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not going to be long. Just hang on. Said be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. It won't be long. We're getting ready to leave. Aren't you glad the Lord called you into this, in this hour, in this time? It may very well be, and I really believe that it is. Now, I could be wrong, but I really believe that we're at that time in history that this church is really getting ready to go. I've been in this all my life, and I've heard all my life that it's nearly here, but I really believe it is now. Anybody else believe that tonight? Can you see it? Amen. I see things going on, and in the natural it disturbs me and I get kind of aggravated. But in the spirit it says, don't worry about that. You're getting ready to get out of here. These things must come to pass. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look to the Lord right now. Jesus, thank you for the rapture of the church. I want to be ready. Amen. In that great getting up morning. Fare you well. Fare you well. Amen. You're coming to take a bride out of this place and receive her unto yourself. Amen. And what a day that's going to be. Amen. When we enter heaven's portals. Hallelujah. We're going to rise with a shout. Amen. With a voice of the archangel, and the last trump shall sound. You're calling the church away. You're calling the church away. It won't be long. And it won't be long. Praise God.